What the EFL? It's the Football League podcast taking a deep breath after that bumper bank holiday of EFL action. Coming up, it's our annual Easter extravaganza as we tell you who had a cracking one and who's hot, cross and done. Powered by Quinbet. This is What the EFL. And we're back with you, reflecting on that huge and always significant pair of fixtures across the Championship, League One and League Two. I've got my two chaps with me who've been right in the thick of it. Adrian Clark, freshish from Ewood Park. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. All right. Just this second found out that I was also at the same game as Sam on Friday at Oxford. But yeah, he kept his distance from me. And I enjoyed Hot Cross and Done.
Thanks.
Never heard that one. But yeah, I thought it was good.
Yeah, I felt I needed to pick it up a bit after Extravaganza, which is just completely route one. And yeah, there was right to not be any applause for that particular pun. Sam Parkin, you've been busy too. Have you had a nice weekend?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. The Easter egg hunt seemed to have been going on for an eternity. I think I'm into about four now.
Wasn't a thing in our day, was it?
Not really. My oldest son's taken to just following the distributor of the eggs around. I think there was some random bloke at a crazy golf course that my other half took him to yesterday, and he just followed him as he distributed. So not really the essence, is it?
No, it's cheat. You could call it cheating or you could call it resourceful. I think we'll probably go with the latter. All I would say is, and I absolutely love Bluey, but that Easter egg hunt episode has done us. We had to replicate it almost exactly what my wife did. And it was hard work for little reward, other than the fact that you can eat your children's Easter eggs when they're not looking. But anyway, Easter is done. And in some cases, so is the promotion race. We're going to talk about Lincoln City soon. But first, let me remind you that our partners, Quinbet, have an offer. You can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25. Minimum three bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus for new UK customers only. Visit gambleaware.org for information on responsible gambling. You'll find a link to that and a link to the offer in the show notes. All right, let's get cracking then. And we've got to start with the fabulous Lincoln City, who secured promotion to the Championship over the Easter weekend after wins against Wimbledon and Reading. So they're in Tier 2 for the first time in 65 years. They've done it with five games to spare. What I liked about this, Clarkie, was they only needed a point to get the job done against Reading. But you want that release moment, right? They nearly got it against Wimbledon, but results didn't go their way to secure it. And if you'd done it with a draw, yeah, fine, great, we're promoted. But a 96-minute winner just gives you that double reason to celebrate. And amazing season.
Yeah, and right in front of the travelling support as well, which was superb. Was it about 3,000 of them? Lovely piece of play as well, wasn't it? Conor McGranders, who I've been bigging up. Brilliant bit of jinky play in midfield and a through ball for Moylan. And yeah, like he almost looked like he was going to muck it up, didn't he, with the finish? But then it was a really nice little lofted finish over the keeper. So yeah, no, it was great scenes. They deserved it. I mean, what a run they've been on. I mean, they haven't lost since the 22nd of November. Quite remarkable, really. We know that they've got a relatively low budget. It's definitely bottom half. They're the data defiers, aren't they? I mean, Optus expected. So obviously they're very good at defending, the best defensive record in the league, super well organised, still, and they score the most goals, but still Opta has them second for expected points, 20 points less than they've got. So, you know, they've been super efficient at both ends of the pitch, really, really good. unbeaten against top 10 teams. I mean, how often has that happened in a season? It's nuts, isn't it? I mean, they've lost five. Two of those have been to the bottom four. But against top 10 teams or current top 10 teams, unbeaten. Yeah, really, really good team. Good in the air. Score loads of goals from outside the box. Brilliant on the counter. Yeah, they won't be easy to play against in the Championship. Yeah, it's a brilliant story. Yeah, wish them all the best. It's what sort of intrigued me when the players and the manager were interviewed afterwards was everyone was sort of saying, you couldn't have thought about this in your wildest dreams. They're like, yeah, no, we thought we'd go up. So, you know, they don't think it's any kind of fairy tale, but I think the rest of us are very, very impressed.
Got to be impressed with the, well, everything, Sam, obviously, but the manager in particular, Michael Scubala, this great journey that he's been on from being a futsal coach to taking a team into the Championship. And it's not the day to worry about how they might fare in the Championship next year, is it? But certainly one thing that's massively in their favour is the manager.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been an amazing rise, I suppose. And I think it just fits, doesn't it? Because Lincoln, I think back to Danny Cowley's tenure there, they seem to be quite patient, even to the supporters as well, I think, and given an opportunity to grow as Danny and Nicky Cowley did so wonderfully well a few years ago. And regular listeners to the podcast will know this is one of my teams. If Clarkey has the whole of East Anglia,
yeah, yeah,
you know, along with QPR, Swindon, St Mirren, Fiorentina,
it's less than an hour from my door. Can I have them as well?
Dunfermline Athletic, but Lincoln City is the place of my old man's birth, and he's a big Lincoln City fan.
Yeah,
obviously adopted QPR when he moved to London in the 60s or 70s or whenever it was. But yeah, always look out for Lincoln's results and. Yeah, it's been a remarkable story. And Clarkey laid down a few of the stats there, and I almost hope it's the end of people discussing teams not having the ball and blah, 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 blah. Different ways to win football matches, and they're a great example of that. Experienced boys. What I like as well is there's not been that reliance on one or two goal scorers, nobody in double figures in the league. Moylan, actually, it was quite fitting that he got the goal. He's got eight since the turn of the year. He had a kind of breakthrough season maybe in the EFL a few years ago and kind of plateaued and a little bit indifferent, certainly in terms of goal scoring and assists in the first half of this season. So fitting that he capped it. And I think back to teams when I was playing, maybe Colchester United, when they got into the Championship, could be something similar to that, you know, the surprise element, the physicality, the experience that they've got as well in a number of positions. I think it's one of the, I'd imagine it's one of the oldest 11s in the division. And they've won out against one of the youngest in Cardiff. So it's been a brilliant battle between those two, but there's only been one winner, significant winner. Lincoln have overpowered them across the last couple of months, and we'll see how Cardiff can knuckle down now and secure that second position, because, you know, a couple of indifferent results for them over Easter, not suggesting anyone's going to catch them, but, you know, they need to refocus and get their job finished.
They sure do. Lincoln 90 points, so 12 clear of Cardiff. And their next job is to wrap up the title, and they will start their quest to do that when they host Lake Norrien at the weekend. Boy, that's going to be a party, isn't it? Okay, well, they are bound for the Championship, and that's where we're going to go next. So we got two good, two bad for the Championship. Not the old Match of the Day 2 feature, but some teams who we think have done well and not. Clarkey, you're going to kick us off with a good. It's Blackburn Rovers. You saw them live and in living colour on Bank Holiday Day Monday. I can't imagine it was the best game you've seen all season, but it was certainly a good Easter for them.
No, it wasn't the best game. No, it was not a great watch. And they didn't have a shot on target, but I am still going to put them as having a good Easter, because in a sea of draws at the bottom end of the table, they did get that big win, didn't they, at Birmingham. And that, coupled with the draw against West Bromwich Albion, which they deserved at least a point. I'd actually say that in the second half, they were the stronger team against West Brom. Those 4 points are really massive, aren't they? If they hadn't have got them, they'd be really in trouble. But as it stands now, you're starting to think one more win and they should be okay. And I think that's a pretty good job done from Michael O'Neill. It's not a great squad. It really isn't. And on the Birmingham game, they really should have won it by more. Beadle in goal for Birmingham produced a lot of heroics. Lovely winner, wasn't it? Morishita to Cantwell, who sort of swept it home. Morishita's a good player. Don't mind him sort of in that right 10 role. What I saw in the West Brom game was O'Neill's flexibility. So he started with a back five and thought it was a bit of a nothing first half. And he was like, no, let's go 4-4-2. Let's go for it. Put Jorgensen on. The two tens went out wide. And they were all over them, really. And were quite unlucky not to score. And the keeper made one of the saves of the season. I don't know if you've seen this from Hegerbo. Hegerbo is like, I would say, he's on the 6-yard box line, middle of the goal, hits it on the volley as hard as you like, and he tips it onto the crossbar. Absolutely magnificent. So look, they're not a brilliant team. They're not that entertaining, but they are solid, Blackburn Rovers. I mean, Wrexham, Derby and Hull have conceded more than Blackburn this season, and they're all in the hunt for the Premier League. So, yeah, good Easter for them. And, yeah, one more win, and I think they'll be playing Championship football next year.
Mm. 6 points clear of trouble, as Clarkie says, good defence, and that Michael O'Neill appointment all of a sudden looking inspired, unless you support Northern Ireland, I suppose. Let's go for your good, Sam. Bristol City, I mean, back-to-back wins under Roy the Boy. It's just an excuse to talk about Roy Hodgson and his sunglasses largely, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I wouldn't say we mocked the appointment. I think far from it. I think we were all...
We scratched our heads, I think it would be fair to say.
Yeah, scratched
our heads. It came from left field.
I think, you know, any other... how old is Roy?
104? Sorry, that's me. I think he's 78.
Any other 78-year-old, we maybe would have poured scorn on it. But I think because it's Roy, we all quite enjoyed it. And, yeah, 6 points over the two games. I mean, they were absolutely battered in the second half against Sheffield United. Played some really good stuff in the first half. I think Jason Knight played right back, and him and Mark Sykes combined quite nicely. He's got a back four out there, which has been problematic, I think. There's been a lack of centre-half, so actually it probably makes sense. I think Borges played the left side of the central defensive duo yesterday. Scott Twine in the 10. Not sure those kind of dual number 10s have been working brilliantly this season under Gerhard Struber. So there's been a few tactical changes, but they owed a gratitude of debt to their goalkeeper yesterday, I think, in that game against Sheffield United. After Chris Wilder tried something in the first half, he made multiple changes and they absolutely peppered the City goal. 7 saves he made, so much so that Roy Hodgson has said post-match that Vitek looks like he's got everything in his armoury to be a Premier League goalkeeper. So we'll wait and see on that one. But yeah, two very, very good victories. One at the Valley, obviously. Scott Twine scoring a lovely goal in that one. The second was hideous. If you haven't seen that, go and have a look at the...
Amazing.
Bristol City second goal. But yeah, just a great return, isn't it? I suppose after there would have been a lot of question marks as to what they were doing with that appointment. So a brilliant few days, and all of a sudden the Bristol City fans feeling a little bit more optimistic.
Do you think you'll stay on?
I was just going to say, they're 7 points off the playoffs, aren't they? I mean, if he gets them in the playoffs, then that would be incredible. But I've just worked it out. He is 45 years older than Tonda Eckert. I'm surprised that you didn't pick Southampton for your Championship good team, actually, Clarkie, but maybe that's because...
They were very good. Tonight. They were very, very good. Yeah, give them that.
All right, well, we can't put Arsenal in the bad category, but we can put Middlesbrough, Adrian. Dropped to third place on goal difference. Ipswich above them, but have 2 games in hand. A damaging defeat and then a draw that really needed to be a win.
Yeah, miserable Easter, wasn't it, for Borough, really? Again, the numbers are crazy. They got over 3 expected goals in both games. Didn't win either. Obviously got 1 point. 29 shots against Swansea, 32 against Millwall. So, you know, but 5 big chances in each game. That's 12% of their season's entire big chance count across 2 games, by the way. So, you know, they'll be feeling we're not playing that bad. You know, we're doing a lot of good things here. And they kind of are, considering they're missing the magic of Whittaker and the magic of Hayden Hackney. I think that's a big miss. I think if they're going to reel Ipswich in, and I don't think it's over, because Ipswich have got, you know, I think 5 of their last 7 are away. So it's kind of doable, but I think they'll need those two back in the team. The reason they've had a bad Easter is really that they've not made good decisions at the back. So you remember that winner from Millwall, Malunda, really terrible pass in midfield, loses it. And they give it to Coburn, and he's still got a lot to do. But look, I wasn't a great defender. I was a winger that in 1v1s was not great defending them. But Ayling got it all wrong. Didn't do anything really to stop Coburn just curling it into the far corner. So 2 bad decisions there. And then in Wales, you get Bangura, who scored, makes a ridiculous challenge inside the box, completely out of control, definite pen. And then the goalie, Sol Brin, don't know why he's coming out to the side of the box, really, and even though I'm not convinced it was a foul, it was you know, gave the ref a decision to make, didn't he? So yeah, some sort of bad decision making from defenders has been really, really costly this Easter. I don't think they're out of it, especially if Hackney and Whittaker do return. But it's going to take some serious character now, because their bellies must be, or their chins are on the floor.
Speaking of bad decisions, Ipswich Town, they made one of those a couple of weeks ago, didn't they, with that PR gaffe. They play Middlesbrough in a couple of weeks, Sam, at Portman Road. You saw Ipswich play Birmingham on Bank Holiday Monday. Clarky says Borough aren't out of it. Are Ipswich firm favourites now for you to nab that second automatic spot?
Oh, I think they are, yeah. Whether they deserved that victory yesterday, I'll leave that up to the listeners who saw the game. Obviously, the big moment. I heard Clarkey talking about this actually on the radio on the way home from the game. Osman came on for Birmingham, had a really great impact aside from the contentious moment. But yeah, I thought commentating on the game live that the ball was in play, gets to the byline, cuts it back, and Dar O'Shea turns into his own net, and the referee on the near side but the opposite side to the play flags for the ball going out of play, and there was kind of hopeful pleas from, I think it was Jacob Greaves, but O'Shea didn't even really appeal that the ball had gone out. So very fortuitous. Middlesbrough, Millwall rightly will feel slightly hard done by this morning. Ipswich, I would say far and away the better side in the first half. It was a little bit scrappy. I think there is tension in the air at Portman Road, but that's because they've drawn three of the last four. You can even go back to around about 6 weeks ago when they drew at home to Preston North End, conceding quite late. So it's not been perfect, but I said it multiple times on the commentary yesterday. Yes, the squad's brilliant, got loads of depth, but I don't think it's been a vintage season. Definitely not in comparison to the last time they got promoted, if indeed they do so, but they're getting the job done. It's not wonderfully free-throwing across the piece, but I think a part of that is, they are the ones to be shot at now. A bit like maybe some of the other teams in recent times that have come down and expected to go back up. Every week is a massive game in the Championship for their opposition. Going to Portman Road, taking them on at their home ground, and they've certainly struggled on the road. I think six of their seven defeats have been away from Portman Road. So it's just been about getting the job done. McAteer was probably the pick of the bunch yesterday, got his first goal for Ipswich, missed another one-on-one in the first half, but he was pretty good. But Birmingham, as I'll come on to in a few moments, gave a good account of themselves, multiple changes for them and a much better display. But Ipswich ahead of the derby, which again we'll speak about a bit later, much needed 3 points, doesn't matter how you play. And that was the sentiment at full time, kind of big celebrations, Kieran McKenna punch in the air. It felt like a real big 3 points.
So on the other side of the ledger in that particular game were Birmingham. You've picked for your bad team. Clarkey's been campaigning for Chris Davis to get the boot all season.
But he's definitely going to get it though, isn't he, in the summer? I think I'd be surprised if he doesn't.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Sam. Presumably they keep faith with him for the rest of the campaign, because why wouldn't you? But 16th was not where they wanted to be at this stage of this season.
No, I just thought it was worth, having a little chat about them this morning. I know there's probably more meaningful results across Easter, but, I think it is quite a big story that's been developing there. And yeah, despite them being on the wrong end of a really poor decision, I heard his interview on the radio, and it's kind of all he spoke about. Given where they are in the table, yes, it's a contentious decision and it should have gone their way, but I think there's bigger issues, bigger problems. But yeah, I'll focus in on what I saw yesterday. And he made seven changes, and I think a lot of these changes, doing my reading pre-match, were ones that the supporters desired. Solis coming back into midfield, Neumann coming back into the heart of defence alongside Clara, who's far and away been their best player this season, which tells the story. The big centre-half has been the most consistent of the lot. You had Prisca, who they'd not seen much of, leading the line. Vicente on the right-hand side, who gets the goal. And yeah, the performance was better. I thought the structure of the team was actually pretty good in the first half without landing too many blows on Ipswich's goal. And in the second half, especially after the introduction of Osman, they had a little bit more in terms of creativity and firepower going the other way. So I believe from, again, listening to the sentiment from all the Birmingham fans going into the game, that this was a much better performance, because they have been at a really low ebb. But yeah, unless they string, I would say, results together in the remainder of the season, it feels like a change is in the offing. That would have done him some good yesterday, Chris Davis, but the manner of the derby defeat, the lineup that he went with, which I think got a lot of criticism, and then the display against Blackburn, which Clarkey referenced, I think, you know, has put him in a really difficult spot. And I said it yesterday during the commentary as well. I'm not sure how helpful those comments were. I can't remember exactly where they came from, but, you know, that promotion is the aim this season. I think it was even automatic promotion is the ambition. You know, if we get up via the playoffs, then brilliant. But I'm not sure those comments have done him the world of good, especially when, you know, the supporters are kind of buying into that sentiment as well. And, you know, a mid-table finish this year, it, in my eyes, isn't the end of the world.
They're going to spend a lot of money, aren't they, in the summer? But a tough run in Wrexham, Hull City, Preston home. Guess that might be their win. Bristol City then finish at Pompey. Okay, let's head into League One next. And we'll start with the bad selection, because we haven't heard from you for a while, Adrian. You've gone for Wickham. I saw them on Friday at Stockport. I mean, they created quite a few chances in the game, but they looked a bit ropey at the back. Michael Duff said before the Easter fixtures, if they win both, they're banging the hunt for promotion. If we lose both, we're out of it. Well, I'm afraid, Michael, it's not looking good.
Yeah, they're out. Look, they've played 42 as well now, so they've only got four games left, and they're 5 points off the playoff. So, yeah, it was, you know, the Easter weekend's pivotal for so many clubs, and for them it really was. And they didn't deliver, did they? Obviously two hard games. Stockport away and Bradford at home, it isn't easy, but yeah, desperately disappointing that they lost both. If they'd won those games, they would have been sat in sixth instead of Stevenage, eyeing up a playoff sort of run.
And they would have damaged the two teams they were playing, right? That's why it was such a good opportunity for them.
Exactly. Now they're 11th, and really it's kind of done. The Bradford game, the most recent one, they led early on. It was a really good goal. Lovely move and a great finish from Vidigal. Had a lot of the ball. But then, yeah, some bad goals given away. I mean, the Bradford's equaliser, it was a high line. And Connor Taylor, not the most mobile centre-back. And they knock it over his head, and he's got a parachute on his back as he's trying to get catch up with the striker who scores. And it was a similar story in the game that you saw on the Friday. The last goal, quite a high line again, knocked over the top. Taylor's absolutely nowhere. He's no chance of catching the striker, and the keeper comes out, doesn't he, Morris? Go around him and score. So that's a problem. Also, his centre-back partner didn't have a very good Easter either, Taylor Allen. I always think Taylor Allen's better as a left-side centre-back in a three or even a left-back. He's playing centre-back at the moment, and he did his best Ben White impression. There you go. That's a reference to Southampton's win against Arsenal. Well done, the Saints. Did exactly that, wasn't it? The ball comes in, he misjudges the flight of the cross, jumps, completely misses it, and Lafay scores. So, yeah, look, they faced 10 shots on target at Stockport on Friday. So, a bit loose, really, without the ball. And for that reason, Wickham's season's kind of done and dusted. And I think that will be... And I know that Duff sort of has really improved them and got them dreaming after a really bad start to this season. But really, I think given the money they've spent, given the changes they made in January, I think the club will be really fed up and disappointed not to have not to be in the playoffs this season, if indeed that happens.
Yeah, he was at pains to point out in his pre-Stockport interview, look at the form since I took over, repeatedly he said. The season started in September after I'd come in. Made me a bit sad watching Nathan Lowe as well. He looked pretty diminished from last season. That going back to Stoke really did for him, didn't it, unfortunately. Let's cheer things up a bit, Sam, by talking about another good League One story. We've mentioned Lincoln already. Also in the hunt for promotion are Bradford City. Maybe you've left it too late to really threaten Cardiff, but they will have been pleased to have gotten that away win in that game at Wickham that we referenced, because that's where they've struggled, certainly since the turn of the year, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Only Lincoln have got more points at home across the whole 92 this season. So they've been formidable, as we would have maybe anticipated, in front of their own supporters, having got that upturn under Graham Alexander maybe a year or two ago, getting it right in front of the home fans. So made hard work of it on Friday. Northampton actually had a couple of opportunities in that 1-0 victory. Stephen Humphreys with the only goal. And then, yeah, again, not the prettiest, I don't think, at Adams Park, which is Yeah, a bit what Bradford are. They get the job done, don't they? I don't think, you know, they're going to be as easy on the eye as some other teams. But the second half, their substitutes had an impact. Metcalf, Powell, Caden Jackson's back now, having not played since the end of February, one of the January new recruits. So I think they're in a good place to go into the end of the season. And I just wanted to highlight them because, you know, they'd lost at Wigan. They'd lost against Burton in the previous, they hadn't won in three going into these two games. So they'd given themselves they are going to be in the playoffs, all sense and purposes. Three home games against Stevenage, Plymouth Argyle and Bolton, all promotion hopefuls, go to Barnsley and Exeter. So I think, you know, a couple of wins and they're going to be assured probably of their position. They're not going to catch Cardiff, I would presume, who I did want to mention because two draws, obviously they're the fall guys from the weekend in terms of, you know, the drop-off and Lincoln get promoted and what have you. 55 shots across the two draws, Cardiff City. So if that is not in keeping with maybe what has hindered them in this pursuit of the title, I don't know what has. So yeah, their drop off I think in front of goal, illustrated by not just having that final element to their play at the weekend. But if you haven't seen it as well, the pre-assist from Harrison Ashby for Bradford's first goal, it's a little nutmeg on about the halfway line and a little arced pass to set Humphreys free. He doesn't finish, Poynton gets the goal, but beautiful football from a player who counts QPR, Swansea, West Ham United, and now Newcastle United, where he's permanently a Newcastle player as his former employers. So not really caught fire yet his career, despite, you know, high pedigree of being at some big clubs. This was a wonderful piece of play from him.
All I would say is, as an old school enthusiast, as I have you marked for, that's the second podcast in as many days I've done with you where you've mentioned a pre-assist. So maybe things on the turn.
Oh, yeah, but have a look at this and Clarkie can go back and see the Gerald Hatto pass for the Estevao goal. And I can let him make his own mind up because it's more impressive than the one that actually gets the assist.
You've changed, haven't you? Pre-assist. What's that all about?
No. Just go and watch them both.
I'd have got loads of those. Yeah.
We could easily have had Port Vale in our bad for League One.
If anything, I'd rather that guy got the assist. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, well, we'll see what we can do. I'll mention it to the boys at the EFL and Opta and get back to you.
Well, you mention it to Gordon Kelly.
Okay, you will do. Graham Kelly.
Graham Kelly, sorry.
Yeah.
Delete that.
He's not going to delete it.
Nah, probably not. Let's finish off in League Two then with our good and bad. Adrian, you've gone for a team who went back-to-back games to nil over the Easter weekend, and they are ensconced now in a playoff place with a two-point buffer between they and the team immediately chasing them. Tell us more.
Yeah, well, I should really probably be talking about Bristol Rovers here. 8 wins from 10, 2 more at Easter. They've won 5 on the spin, but they're managed by Steve Evans, aren't they? So I'm not going to. I'm going to talk about Chesterfield instead. They're the team with the back-to-back 1-0 wins, 3 1-0 wins in a row, if you take it to their previous game as well against Accrington Stanley. So they're grinding their way into the playoff picture. Now, we talked about Wickham. Good or bad Easter would maybe define where they might end up. And it was the same for Chesterfield. If Chesterfield had a bad Easter, they'd be marooned very much in mid-table. You know, they'd be way off it. And they've been way off it for quite a lot of this season. But something about Paul Cook's teams, they always seem to come on strong right towards the end of the season, and I remember them doing it, was it last year or the year before? I think it might have been last year. And it looks like they're going to do it again. Part of that's probably because they've got a really big squad and a good squad. And in both games over Easter, the subs came on and made a real difference. Yeah, so they beat Cheltenham at home, very dominant, really. I think they hit the post 4 times, so they could easily have won by more than one goal. The game at Barrow was as you probably would have expected it to be, a real grind. They get a decent goal. They go and press the keeper. They force a mistake and score. And then they see it out. There was a weird incident with a penalty where they concede a penalty, and the ref blows his whistle, and then he pauses and doesn't actually point to the spot, clearly changes his mind, and then gives a drop ball, which was really, really bizarre. So they kind of got away with that. But the truth is, in both games, they didn't give much away. They faced one shot on target against Cheltenham, one shot on target at Barrow, and they won both games 1-0. So yeah, Chesterfield, the Grinders, are in with a shout now of getting into the playoffs. And given that the experience of the manager and the players that they've got, if they get into the playoffs, they won't be easy opponents.
Well, this is almost like we planned this, because their next opponent are Tranmere at home. And Tranmere is the team that Sam has picked out as his League Two bad. Sam, it's been Harrogate this, Barrow that, Newport County the other, in terms of the battle to survive. Maybe a little bit of Crawley here and there as well. But maybe we've been sleeping on Tranmere overs. My goodness, the vibes are bad. They haven't won since Valentine's Day. They've lost all but one game they've played since. Remember that takeover that was going to happen about 2 years ago with ASAP Rocky involved? I mean, goodness me, talk about down on your luck. They are spiraling.
Yeah, 4 points from a possible 51. I think I've done the maths correctly. One other draw to add to that victory over Crawley against Fleetwood, which was Pete Wilde's first game, which I think we talked up, didn't we, or we predicted, because obviously he was going back to his former club. That was the first of his five games. They've not scored since Pete Wilde's taken charge. 3-1-0 defeats on the spin. They played okay a fortnight or so ago against Swindon, maybe warranted some points from that game, but since then regressed, lost against Shrewsbury, of course, who have had a few poor results after initially really picking up, obviously, under Gavin Cowan. And to lose at home to Colchester, which was their first win in six, is a really poor result. Started okay. I think when you're in these situations, you just need to get the first goal in games. And obviously they can't score for love nor money at the moment, so that's easier said than done. But getting a goal gives yourself something to defend, because as soon as the ball goes in their net, they just lose their confidence, haven't got the ability to get back on the front foot. And that's exactly what happened at the weekend. It was Awura Edwards who came on to create the goal for Jack Payne, and Tranmere didn't look like getting back in it. Pete Wilde had a bit of a set to with the supporters at full time. He actually referenced it first up in his post-match interview. It actually hasn't gone down too badly with the bits and pieces that I've read, but they are an incredible low ebb. The only grace they've got is that Newport play Harrogate next. So nothing's going to be decided. In fact, they're not going to get dragged further too drastically into it, because that's a massive six-pointer. But you raise the fact that they play Chesterfield at home next, away to Chesterfield, and then they play Bristol Rovers, who have won five in a row.
Yeah,
who probably should have been in our picks today.
Yeah,
so it's not going to get any easier for them. I think there's a game against Cheltenham around the corner as well. But you know, if any side across all the divisions is sleepwalking or spiraling into inevitability of the relegation, then it's Tranmere. This is desperate, desperate times for them. You can't see where they're going to get their next goal from. I think Joe Ironside scored in that Crawley game. That's his last goal. They got Amari Patrick still, but this is a team that's not finishing their opportunities and look in desperate trouble.
Yeah, and their last two, just to round off the fixtures, MK Dons away, Grimsby at home. So they both might still have something to play for as well. Not looking good for Tranmere at all. All right, we are nearly done for today. Let's do some predictions, though, shall we? Not a vintage week, I think it's fair to say, last week. Me, 1 point. Adrian, 1 point. Sam, no points. So not a great deal of movement in the title race. Look at that little grin on your face, Clarky, because you've extended
look, every point,
ever so
every
slightly.
Point counts. Yeah, Sam's been great form, hasn't he? So, and as of you, so yeah, I'm pleased I wasn't the only one that was rubbish last week. I think it was Crawley that got me that point. I backed New Gaffer, didn't I, to win at Newport, and he did so nicely.
Yep. I've picked some big games this week. Goodness me. We have got to start with the Old Farm Derby, Norwich against Ipswich. Go on then, Sam, you can have first go, as it's one of your old teams.
Yeah, and I know that I was at the club the last time Ipswich won at Carrow Road, I believe. I was injured and I wasn't actually at the game. I think I was, I don't think I was in a great place during my recovery, because I remember watching on with envy from London when one of my deputies, Danny Haynes, I think scored the winning goal. If you remember Danny Haynes, went on and had a good career at Charlton, and Alan Lee might have got the other. Can't recall who was my big mucker, but there's been a lot of 1-1s I've noticed in recent times, and I think that's not the worst outcome for both. I think Norwich would happily take that to keep them rolling, and Ipswich as well. Massive game. I think 1-1's probably quite likely.
Okay, 1-1 for Sam. I'm going to go 3-1 to Norwich, controversially. Adrian?
Don't think it's controversial. I think Norwich are in brilliant form, aren't they? Brilliant, a superb win. Obviously, they dropped points at home to Pompey, but great win at Millwall. And they would love to scupper Ipswich Town's automatic promotion bid, won't they? This is going to be a very, very... Because Norwich, I think, still believe they might even sneak into the playoffs, which would just be absolutely nuts. So I think the atmosphere is going to be electric here. It's going to be hell for the Tractor Boys. Obviously, the team I supported as a young boy, as a junior blue. But I'm going to back against them. I think Norwich will win 2-1.
Okay, they are 6 points off the playoffs at the time of recording. In League One, Cardiff and Bolton, another big one in terms of two promotion-chasing sides. What do you reckon, Adrian?
Can't trust Bolton away, can you? And obviously Bradford have gone above them. Cardiff, obviously two draws at Easter, not great, but yeah, at home, they tend to. And I think it's been a nice game, good quality football match, two excellent footballing teams. It might suit Cardiff. Cardiff 3, Bolton 1.
Desmond for me. Sam?
Yeah, I'm just going to go with what I scribbled down about 45 minutes ago. I'm going to go 2-1 home win. I don't know why. I just think Cardiff big game may suit them, you know, this stage of the season when they've been a little bit indifferent, big crowd. I'd back them to get it right and find their scoring boots.
Let's finish with a top two tussle in League Two. The McDons hosting Bromley. Bromley are clear at the top by 4 points and they've got a game in hand. And I'm not sure you can trust MK Dons overly. So I'm going to give Bromley a 1-0 victory here. What about you, Sam?
I'll flip it happily. Yeah. Just repeat what I said a few moments ago. Big game, loads on it. Paul Warne to get his game plan spot on. 1-0 hosts.
All right, so you should probably go for a draw then, Clarkie.
Yeah, I'm 100% going for a draw. I did have one nil scribbled down, but I'm going to sit in the middle. It's going to be low scoring, I'm pretty sure of that. MK Dons 1, Bromley 1.
Okay, we shall see. We'll update you next week on how we get on with that. Before we go, let me remind you that our partners, Quinbet, have an offer where you can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum three bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18+ for new UK customers only. Visit gamblerware.org for information on responsible gambling. All that info and a link to the sign-up page is available in the show notes. If you'd like to leave us a nice review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods, all helps us grow the show. We thank you to everybody who has done that. You will know if you're a regular here that we always finish with a tweet of the week. This one comes from Accrington Stanley's Tyler Walton, who has a picture of him brooding and applauding the supporters post-game. Not keen on the shirt. Don't like a collar on a football shirt, but that's a debate for another day. Tyler says, first start in 20 weeks. Buzzing to be back out there with the boys. What a result, flames emoji. Clayton then rocking, applause emojis. Bagged himself 87 likes for this one, Sam. I quite like it. I always like it when somebody makes a comeback from a long injury. He gets bonus points for mentioning a stand. It's good stuff.
He gets bonus points for doing it in weeks, I reckon, as well, 20 weeks. Mm. And we call ourselves EFL experts. Well, maybe a portion of this team does. Clayton End Rocking.
Ouch.
Clayton End Rocking. Did anyone know what the home stand at Stevenage was called? I certainly did not. I know there's a Burger King near the ground.
A Stevenage?
I was going to say, you call yourself an EFL expert. The guy plays for Accrington Stanley, so you embarrass yourself there.
Over to you, Clarkie.
Nothing more needs to be said. It's absolutely tremendous. Best clip of the season so far. Outstanding. Outstanding. Obviously, there's no Clayton in there because it's Aki. Look, he's only got three replies. I think that's a bit harsh. And the first reply from Kostas says, "You've regressed badly, mate."
If you are Kostas, Kostas 1483-0152, you are everything that is wrong with social media and society today. You've not given your proper name. You've got a picture of Mohamed Salah as your profile pic. Why are you commenting on something from Accrington then? And you've had a pop at somebody who's been out injured for nearly half of the year. Have a look at yourself and think about what you're posting, you absolute whopper. Anything else, Adrian?
No, that's perfect. Yeah.
All right. Well, on that happy note, that's where we shall leave things today. Sam's off to study which stands are at which grounds before next.
Shows how much shrift I give to your little tweet of the week, doesn't it? I just basically looked at the shirt. It was red and white. He looked quite Stevenage-y in my defence.
Do you know what? I can see how you've made that mistake, but it looks a bit still funny.
Cole Piergianni, doesn't he? So that's why I've gone in. Sorry, that was really bad.
Literally got Accrington written across the front of the shirt as the sponsor, but never mind. We'll leave that there. Thank you to Adrian and Sam for their expertise. To you by and large, and to you for listening. We'll be back with another show next week. For now, it's goodbye.